You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Week one. Let's go. How about this for your viewing pleasure? The defending champs and the 22 returning starters on the Bucks facing Jerry Jones' squad as Dak makes his long-awaited return. And here's your first look at the week one slate for the 2021 NFL season. Hot off the presses, y'all. Obviously, we see Brady and the Cowboys, and that's where I want to start with you, Chris Canty, Super Bowl champ in the building. For this matchup, will the focus be a Tom Brady repeat or a Dak Prescott revenge tour? What's the biggest storyline for you?
Molly, to me, it has to be Dak Prescott and him coming back from that ankle surgery. I mean, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady, we know what it's going to be for them. With Drew Brees stepping out of the NFC South, I mean, it's going to be a much more easier path for them.
Well, you start in order right
to get,
first
in
thing.
Order to get to the Super Bowl. They're bringing everybody back. Like Bruce Arians said, they're not running it back. They're going for two. We know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be there in the end. But the questions are surrounding the Dallas Cowboys. How is Dak going to look coming off of that surgery? They put to bed the distraction of him getting that contract. They're paying him $40 million a year. And let me tell you something, Max. Jerry Jones ain't doing that just for the sake of saying he's got one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League. He's doing that because he believes that this team has the opportunity to contend for a championship.
Oh,
and with the NFC East being in the state that it's in, I could understand that. But the thing that I'm most intrigued by for the Dallas Cowboys is seeing whether or not Dan Quinn can fix that defense, because we're going to find out in a hurry with the Bucs. I mean, the Cowboys were historically bad on that side of the ball. They allowed a franchise worst number of points. So even if that defense isn't one of the top defenses, if they can just be average, I think the Dallas Cowboys have a real opportunity to contend, not just win the division, but to contend for a championship.
Every
so I think
year.
That's the thing that I'm most interested in seeing week one with this matchup, seeing what Dak Prescott can be, but also seeing whether or not they got that defense fit.
Every year, the Cowboys have a pretty good draft to a 500-ish team, and every year, cats who should know better, not only in the media, but played the game for a long time, fall for it. Like, it's a sucker bet, the Cowboys. The Cowboys? I saw when Dak was flying high before he got hurt, and the division was terrible, and before it was the worst defense ever. You know what they did? They went 8-8 and missed the playoffs. Now, those Cowboys? And then last year, the division got even worse. So did the Cowboys' defense. So let's say the Cowboys' defense gets better, and here comes Dak. There they are, 8-8 again. Maybe 9-7. Get out of here with that Cowboys stuff. Clearly, the most interesting thing here in this game is Tom Brady and the Bucs. The Bucs are like the new Patriots, and Brady's branding is perfect. He played this perfectly because the New England Patriots' weapons were getting less and less, their offense less and less potent. He was like, all right, you know, had him trade the backup quarterback, Garoppolo, okay, see you later, left the cupboard bare, and then said, you know what, I'm out of here too. Where do you want to go? To the most loaded roster, the most loaded one, please. He goes down there, they win the Super Bowl, and now the Patriots' way looks like the Tom Brady way, right? We feel about the Bucs in the preseason the way we used to feel about the Patriots. Think about this. This dude is entering his age 44 season.
That's crazy.
He's entering his age 44. The reason I made the Cliff prediction is because no one had ever been that at 41. He's the defending Super Bowl champion. Wait a minute. They brought back the whole team, Molly.
Yeah, all 22. 22. That's unheard of
all 22.
After a Super Bowl.
They're going to be A.B. is like in the swing of things now. A.B. is in the conversation for best receiver ever. Maybe he's still in his prime. Who knows? He looked pretty good in the Super Bowl, didn't he? No, the story here is not Dak Prescott and the typically overrated Cowboys. It's the defending champion, Tampa Bay Bucks, with 44-year-old Tom Brady going for his eighth ring.
And no Drew Brees in the division either.
No That's Drew Brees nice in the him. Division, Molly. But here's the thing. I thought Stephen A. was the only Cowboys hater on this show. I'm just finding out that Max is also a Cowboys hater. I started with the Dallas Cowboys.
Where'd you win your Super Bowl?
With the Giants. I also got paid there, so I got some allegiance to Big Blue.
You're not 60 years old, so I know you didn't play for the Cowboys when they won a Super Bowl.
Stop it. There you go. But here's the thing, Max. We already know what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be. How is that interesting? We know the Buccaneers are going to be a championship contender. It's one of the most complete rosters in the NFL. And going back to the you made about Tom Brady leaving New England, don't get it twisted. Tom Brady didn't make that decision. The Patriots organization made that decision for him, and he just picked the best landing spot. That being said, I mean, they've got 22 starters returning and Antonio Brown. So there's no mystery.
No, it's unreal.
There's no mystery with what the Bucs are going
to
be.
Go to the Cowboys. What are this Cowboys squad? What are they going to be?
I think they have the opportunity to be a championship contending team, but it just depends on what their defense is going to be. Listen, a lot of what we saw.
NFC East championship Lombardi?
Molly, I'm talking about them winning the division and winning a playoff game, maybe two, just depending on how things break.
Playoff game? Chris. 2 years ago.
Max.
No. Let him wait. Let him finish up the Cowboys.
First of all, we know what the floor for this team is when Dak Prescott is healthy. It's 8-8. That's the reality of it. When he's healthy, and last year, before he got hurt, he was playing at an MVP caliber level. The guy was throwing for 370 yards a game.
They were playing from behind a lot.
Were playing from behind a lot, but here's the thing. The issues that they had on the offensive line, that's probably not going to be an issue this year because you're expecting Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins to come back healthy. You couple them with Zach Martin, now you have the makings of a really good offensive line, which is exactly what you want for your quarterback coming off of an ankle injury. And let's remember this. When the Cowboys were a double-digit win team with Dak and Zeke on this squad, they were controlling time of possession. They were being able to establish and win the line of scrimmage and dictate the complexion of the game. They got to get back to that formula, Molly. And if they do, coupled with the defense making some improvement, then, yeah, I believe that this team is not only capable of winning the division, but actually doing some damage in the playoffs.
This is the problem with the Cowboys. This is what happens. They get out-of-proportion media coverage. You know why? We know it rates. The media knows the Cowboys' rate. So we pay attention to them. And because they usually have pretty good drafts, it's not like they're a terrible team. They're usually a mid-pack team, even maybe high average. But we've invested so much time following them. Most teams have a lot of good players. We're just more aware of the good players on the Cowboys. But I will get back to the fact that 2 years ago, they had a ton of talent on offense and defense, and they had that whole offensive line. Mm-hmm. They don't have the whole offensive line anymore. This isn't your slightly older brother's offensive line, right, which was the dominant one in the NFL. It's not.
They got a lot of miles on that offense.
They got a lot of miles. They have one guy who's not there. Like, it's not the same as it used to be, exactly, when they drafted 4 out of 5 years first-round offensive linemen. So that's depreciated a little. Zeke got paid. Didn't look the same since he got paid.
What you saying? That money is slowing him down? All that money in his pocket?
Let's be honest. It's weighing him down. The cash in his pocket is weighing him down.
But, Max, why were the Patriots interesting last year? Because Tom Brady was on his revenge tour. That's what Dak Prescott's going to be doing this year, trying to prove everybody wrong.
Wait, Tom Brady, the Patriots? Or you mean the Bucs?
The Bucs, excuse me. Yeah. Tom Brady with the Bucs. Last year, he's on his revenge tour.
Are you saying Dak Prescott is Tom Brady?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying he's going to have the same boulder on his shoulder after those long, drawn-out contract negotiations. Yes, but he needs to prove to everybody. He needs to prove to him that he's worth it. Everybody, he got dragged through the media. Did he not?
No, I would say the Cowboys got dragged more than Dak got dragged. But I'll say this. When Dak was flying, I saw Dak play a full healthy season. He looked really good. They won 8 games in a bad division, didn't make the playoffs. Then I saw him play last year. They were 500 with Dak last year before he got hurt. Were they even 500? And then they had in an even worse division. Had sub-500 record, didn't make the playoffs. You think that defense is all just fixed? They didn't get the corners they were looking for. You think the defense, they got a really good linebacker. They already have good linebackers. Right. They don't know how to use them.
All right, you don't believe in the defense, but Dak has something to prove. They're putting the on the franchise tag. It took him a long time to commit to him. Time. Let's keep it going. How about those Knicks giving L.A. a run for their money? Anthony Davis, Julius Randle, teammates in New Orleans didn't make anything easy for one another. The Lakers pulling off a 2-point win in OT, but that didn't come without a cost. Anthony Davis suffering a worrisome groin injury without LeBron on the court. AD, how you feeling?
I'm hurt. not more so my body, just my groin got tight. you know, that was really it. Not sure where it came from, but the groin got a little tight. And there's no way I was coming off the game. I mean, big game for us. You know, a team was playing real high. You know, the situation that we're in, trying to battle for six.
All right, here we go. LeBron expected to be back tonight. AD up in the air. The Lakers competing for that sixth spot tonight against Houston, looking to avoid the play-in. According to BPI, the Lakers have a 16% chance to make the NBA Finals, but first clinch a playoff berth. Here's a look at their play-in tournament breakdown. Portland and Dallas hold tiebreakers over the defending champs. So how important is it for the Lakers to avoid the play-in tourney altogether? I bring Big Perk into the conversation. Kendrick, good to see you, sir. As always, I will get to you in a second, but I'm going to start with you, Chris. What do you think? How important is it for them to avoid that play-in?
Molly, I think it's huge for the Lakers to be able to avoid the play-in, because if you're talking about the difference between getting this team into a long series where you have the opportunity for the law of averages to play out with your talent. And when you start talking about the top-end talent on the Lakers roster, I mean, outside of the Nets, you're probably talking about the most talented top-end in the National Basketball Association. So to me, it's paramount to have the opportunity to avoid the play-in, because you get the opportunity to get those guys the rest that they would have not having to play in the play-in, and then having a chance to get into a long series. So to me, that makes the most sense. Now, I understand what happened to AD last night. Maybe he can't go tonight. We'll see what happens if they rest him, and then what happens on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers. But I look at this as an opportunity for the Lakers. With LeBron James, they shouldn't have that much trouble with the Rockets. You get an opportunity to get AD 3 or 4 days of rest and then come back and see what he can do those last two regular season games. But the most important thing is to avoid those one-and-done scenarios where anything can happen. It's almost like an NCAA field in terms of being sudden death and being bounced. So you try to avoid that at all costs and then have the opportunity to get into an actual playoff series. So to me, Molly,
yep,
it would be huge if the Lakers had the potential to avoid it. And if you look at the Portland Trail Blazers schedule, it's not outside of the realm of possibility for that team to lose 2 or 3 and the Lakers to win out.
I think the Lakers' health and wealth, Kendrick.
Bless you.
I think the Lakers should play without regard to the play-in tournament. That shouldn't even be a factor. The only factor should be health, number one, and then if you're healthy, chemistry and getting some rhythm going. But not a factor for the play-in. Chris, I would agree with you if it was tournament style, one and done. But if you're 7-8, it's 2 and done. And do not tell me the Lakers, with LeBron James and AD on the court, are not only going to lose to the Blazers or Warriors. That's possible. Steph or Dame get hot. What are you going to do one game? I get that sphere, right? But then they're going to turn around and lose again to either the Grizzlies or the Spurs. That ain't going to happen. And it may even be better to go through that if you can rest LeBron and AD as much as they need now. Because in that play, it's not playoff atmosphere, it's a playoff game. It's a postseason game. A game, this is called play-in, but season's over, you're playing basketball, it's postseason. You play 1 or 2 postseason games, and you got guys healthy, and now you head into a series with the Jazz or the Suns. Oh, I like your chances. What are they going to do with AD? Either one of those teams, right? But if you go in, you're playing your guys, you really care about seeding, you want to avoid the play-in, and it works. But you heard AD, he's hurting right now. Groin got tight. You see what they did with LeBron. Let's give him that extra day rest. Now you're playing those guys, and maybe they're not 100%, and you're heading in cold. You don't have any playoff atmosphere to start, right? To a Clippers series round one, Lakers would be underdogs. Lakers would be lucky to get out of the first round. What they should do is get LeBron and AD as healthy as possible and completely ignore whether or not they play in the play-in.
Well, Max, I agree with you on certain points, and I agree that the Lakers shouldn't be worried about the play-in tournament. Matter of fact, I think the Lakers should embrace the play-in tournament. To your point, Max, I think the Lakers should try to lock in and get the 7th seed, whether that's, you know, how they got to do it, but they should strategize and try to make sure that they get the 7th seed to possibly face the Phoenix Suns, who I think they could really beat in a 7-game series. Like you said, they have no answer for Anthony Davis. The Suns has been horrible over the last week and a half. When you're supposed to be playing some of the best basketball of the season right now, you're supposed to be peaking going into the playoffs. Now, I will say this, though. Health-wise, I don't want to hear that, for the simple fact that LeBron James and Anthony Davis, especially LeBron James, He needs to get as much repetition as he possibly can. He's been sidelined. He hasn't been able to be in full contact practices. So he needs to have those in-game situations so that he could get his rhythm back. He could get his chemistry of playing with a guy like Andre Drummond, who he haven't played a lot of minutes with. And he could get that workload for us with his legs, get adjusted to that workload. So I like the play-in for the Lakers. I think it's going to benefit them because it's going to help their chemistry. It's going to help their conditioning. It's going to help everything about it, Frank Vogel rotations and everything. So I actually, if I'm the Lakers, I'm embracing that seventh seed. I'm embracing it with open arms. But with that being said, I'm not sitting guys out because I still need my superstars to make sure that they get those quality reps.
That's why they're in a tough spot, guys. That's why the Lakers are in a tough spot. They need the rhythm. They need the chemistry. The question was, how's especially Drummond and AD, right? How are those rotations going to work? How they're going to play together? And it's LeBron and, don't forget, Schroeder, who are really running the offense. You have a lot of pieces to integrate, and your most important pieces are hurt right now. But to me, Chris, I agree with Perk. The ideal scenario for me for the Lakers is a seventh seed. DeAndre Ayton's a couple years away from being able to do anything at all with AD if he'd be able to anyway. And right now, to get that rhythm going and then take a softer touch to me than the Clippers is what the Lakers need. Especially, Chris, if you're going to gun for the sixth seed, that means you got to play these dudes now. You want a worn down or an injured AD. A groin is something that only rest is going to really address. Mm-hmm. You want an injured or compromised AD or LeBron in the first round against the Clippers?
Well, here's what I would say to you, Mac. I think the best part of your argument is the scenario in which the Lakers find themselves on the other side of the bracket with the Clippers. But in my eyes, and I'm a Lakers fan, the only thing that can derail the Lakers' title contention chances is if they're not healthy. And more rest is better for LeBron and AD. Like, I get understanding the rotations and wanting to have those guys in the rhythm. There's something to be said for that. But I think that ship has sailed. We're talking about three more games in the regular season, and I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility for the Lake Show to run the table. You got the Houston Rockets, then this weekend you got Indiana, and I believe it's the Pelicans after that in a back-to-back. So I just feel like...
Hold on, wait. You're saying that if by avoiding the play-in, those are the extra games that you're trying to
avoid? Well, here's what I'm saying, Max. It's pick when you want to get your rest. Do you want to get your rest next week, or do you want AD and LeBron to get their rest this week? And to me, I would rather have that next week getting ready for a long series if that's possible. If the Portland Trailblazers stumble down the stretch, which is entirely possible, and they leave that door cracked open for the Lakers, they would do themselves a disservice if they didn't try to walk through it.
Yeah, but Kenny, you know like I know, right? And it's the same in all sports, right? You get hurt in football, the only way that you could get your rhythm back is by actually going out there on the field and playing the game of football. And sometimes it may take you two games. Sometimes it takes you five games. It may take you 10 games. All I'm saying is that for LeBron James, he's been out almost, 22, 23 games now, the longest of his career, really. And he needs to get his rhythm back. He needs to get his legs up under him. We already know you can do all the Chuck Norris home workout things that you want to do. But until you get out there in those trenches, until you get out there and get that physical contact, that up and down game pace, you're not going to be where you want to be. Now, I will say this. One last thing, Max. The reason that I'm not afraid, I don't think the Lakers should be afraid of the Clippers. And I actually picked the Clippers as my favorite, but I'm kind of backtracking on that, Molly, because they've been playing horrible basketball. Kawhi's not healthy. True. PG is looking horrible. And the Lakers, right? The Lakers put on a defensive clinic last night.
Yep.
They are the best defensive team in the league. They hang their hats on the defensive side of things. So with that being said, the Western Conference is looking a little shaky at the top right now. So if I'm the Lakers, I'm not fearing no one.
Don't be worried about LeBron. I can't believe we're worried about LeBron and his legs and all that. It's LeBron James. He's going to be fine as long as he's healthy. He doesn't need to worry about games for rhythm and
Molly,
chemistry
case,
and all that.
No, but in this
He'll
case, he does, because there are a lot of moving pieces here, including Schroeder, who's the other primary ball handler, and AD, who LeBron is going to. LeBron used AD like a weapon last year to win the championship. If AD's compromised and LeBron doesn't have that weapon, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
How else are you supposed to use them, Max?
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Good day. Welcome back to First Take, coming to you live from above the Heineken River deck at Pier 17. Don't get dizzy on that Brooklyn Bridge, y'all. All right, it's been more than 8 years since Tim Tebow has last played a snap in the NFL. Let me repeat that. 8 years. But that isn't deterring Jacksonville Jaguars first-year head coach Urban Meyer, Tebow's college coach, of course, at Florida, from bringing him in at tight end. What convinced Meyer to give Tim a shot, you ask? Listen to this quote. We have not signed Tim. There's a thought going around that he was in the best shape of his life, asked to see if he could work out with a couple of our coaches. I wasn't even there. They came back to me and said, wow, this guy's in incredible shape. Then I went another time and watched them try him out, and they said, go work on these things. He comes back later. They try him out again. I'm not there. They come in. They said, wow, this guy's ball skills. He's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever. He's 33. I said, guys, you don't understand. This guy is. He's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. Let's give it a shot. Chris Canty, who played 11 years in the NFL, some big-time teams, won a Super Bowl. You're rolling your eyes at all this, the most competitive guy in the NFL stuff. Tell me this. Pretend you're in this locker room. Has Urban Meyer already damaged his credibility? He hasn't played in 8 years.
Well, first of all, let me start with this, Molly, with those comments that Urban made on Chris Collinsworth's podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who Urban Meyer thinks he's trying to fool with that. Mm-hmm. Like, we all know who's running the show down in Jacksonville. And it ain't the assistant coaches that are giving Tim Tebow drills to work on in between tryout workouts. That's not what it is. This is Urban Meyer wanting to bring in one of his guys in order to be an ambassador for his program. And the reason why he's saying we haven't signed Tebow and it's all these other people in the organization is because Urban is putting his finger up in the wind, seeing which way it's going to blow to see how it's going to land a Tim Tebow signing with the media and with the fan base. Mm. But what he needs to be doing is checking to see how the guys in the locker room feel.
How are they feeling?
Because that's the most important thing. Right now, this news of Tim Tebow potentially being signed feels like Urban Meyer doing his guy a favor, much more so than Urban Meyer.
Does that hurt the locker room? Does it hurt his credibility?
And I'm going there, Max. I think what happens is Urban Meyer is jeopardizing his credibility with his locker room because Tim Tebow doesn't seem like a guy that could potentially help the Jacksonville Jaguars win games. That's what this all comes down to. Like, Tim Tebow, can he help our program move forward? Can he contribute on the field? If he can't do that, then there's not a whole lot of value in having him on the roster. If you want him around, Molly, to your point, yeah, you could just make him a coach. But the fact that they're considering signing this dude is a dangerous game that Urban Meyer is playing, especially coming off of what he did earlier this offseason by trying to hire Chris Doyle, the Iowa strength coach, who had some racist comments to say when he was the strength coach for that program.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was very concerning as well. But real quick, Max, before you go, so you're in that locker room. You find out this is your coach. He's a new rookie head coach with the team. What are you and your teammates saying to each other?
well, Molly, we're trying to figure out, can this guy help us? Like, okay. That's the most important thing.
You already think he can't help you, though. We already know you think he can't help you. So what are you thinking?
I'm not talking about Tim Tebow. I'm talking about Urban Meyer. Players want to know, can this coach help us?
Have you ever been in a position where you thought a coach couldn't help you?
I have been, and I'm going to get to that. But players in professional sports and in the NFL, more so than anything else, want their coaches to be able to give them answers to the test. That's what they want. Tell me what I need to do so I can have success. Give me the formula so we can go out there and win games. And guys in the locker room are already looking at Urban with the side eye because he's a college coach. We've seen successful college coaches come up to the NFL ranks and fail. Chip Kelly, Steve Spurrier, hell, even Nick Saban. So, I mean, guys are taking a wait-and-see approach with Urban Meyer.
That's a great point.
And based on these couple of things that have happened this offseason, there's probably a lot of trepidation with that. Now, as far as I'm concerned, when I was in the NFL, I played for Bill Parcells with the Dallas Cowboys. He was the coach that drafted me. But when he decided to step down, there was a regime change. And our position coach on the defensive line was one of those guys that we were looking at coming from the college ranks who we had some serious question marks about. And our very own Marcus Spears can attest to that. It took us all of one meeting with our position coach to realize this dude can't help us.
How do you tell that one
meeting? This dude can't help us. Because it's a competency thing, Max. Uh-huh. It's one of those things where you recognize this coach doesn't have the answers for us in order for us to be
successful. So in the locker room right now, you're saying because of Tim Tebow, there is at least an element in the locker room, a segment of the population in the locker room who's thinking, this dude does not have the answers to the test.
Absolutely, Max. But it's not just that locker room, too, based on the reports we're hearing out of Jacksonville. It could be some people within that organization.
Mm. Yeah, well, I'm not going to dispute any of that. That's based on your own experience, and I get it. But I'll say this, intentional or unintentional, I like Molly's theory. What is Urban Meyer doing here, right? Is he trying to show everyone he's the boss and establish his own culture? Or maybe, like Molly suggested yesterday, maybe he just wants Tebow around the team. Maybe as a coach, as a consultant, something, motivator, whoever knows. But he knows he's not going to get him there saying, hey, come and be the team mascot, right? Hey, you know what, Tim? We might have a roster spot for you. We want you to compete for a roster spot. That gets Tebow in the door.
Yep.
And then once he's in the door, you hope it sticks, even if he doesn't stick on the field, which is unlikely that he'd stick on the field, right? But I'll tell you another side effect, like another good effect this could have. Everyone's talking about the circus coming to Tim Tebow brings the circus. But in fiction, there's something called a MacGuffin. Right? A MacGuffin is...
Here we go. That's right. English class, everybody. Get out your notebook.
That's right. A MacGuffin is a character or a plot device or something that is supposed to be important, but it's not important. It's just a distraction. It keeps your focus over here, but it's not really what's actually important. And Tim Tebow can be a MacGuffin here. You know why? Who's really important? They just drafted Trevor Lawrence. If anything, an even better prospect than Andrew Luck, who is the best quarterback prospect in a decade. What, is Trevor Lawrence the best quarterback prospect in 20 years or more? They drafted that dude. Meet everyone. When was the last time we talked about Trevor Lawrence? We've been talking about Tim Tebow now for how many days? Since the news broke. So here's the media around Tim Tebow. And you know what we're not talking about? You know where the focus isn't? The rookie quarterback.
I don't think he would do it for that reason, though.
I started by saying it, whether or not it's intentional, that is one of the side effects.
Yeah,
it's
that's
one
fair.
Of the effects is that the circus is over here. Trevor Lawrence is over there. It may not be the worst thing in the world. That's my point.
I don't know about that, Max. Trevor Lawrence is the number one overall pick and one of the most anticipated NFL prospects we've had in a long time.
So why have you said his name in 3 days?
People saying Andrew Luck, people saying John Elway, they're comparing Trevor Lawrence to those dudes. We're talking about Tebow because it's recent, but as we get closer to training camp, all eyes are going to be on the number one overall pick, whether Tim Tebow is on the Jacksonville Jaguars or not. So I don't know how much Tim Tebow being signed to the Jags is going to distract attention away from whether or not Trevor Lawrence gets his pro career off to a good start in Jacksonville.
The question is only, like, could it have a positive effect? Does it necessarily have a negative effect? Like, you talk about the locker room. I can't debate with you the fact that you who have been in NFL locker rooms and have had the experience with fellow players, right? Mm-hmm. When you're, like, with teammates who are going in the same locker room who are going, that dude can't help us. He doesn't have the answer. Now you can lose the locker room, right? They don't think the coach can help you. I'm saying, even if some of that is happening with Urban Meyer right now, first, there's what was his intention here? Maybe he just wants Tebow in the door, as Molly said yesterday, one way or another.
Especially, he's a high-character guy.
But another effect is it actually, I think, takes some pressure and attention off the rookie quarterback. Could there be higher expectations for Trevor Lawrence right now? We haven't talked about him in a week.
But he's already been in the national media being at Clemson. He's used to that, Trevor Lawrence.
But
what, this is Jacksonville. I'm just saying, like, his college program is almost more big time.
The fact of the matter is, if I didn't bring up his name would not be mentioned in the show today. Right? Would we even mention his name? The number one overall draft pick, the best quarterback prospect ever?
I think the bottom line for me is Tim Tebow is like a son to him. He's a great guy. He knows football. Like he said, he's competitive. He just wants him around the organization. He wants his people. He wants someone he trusts. That's what I think it is at the end of the day in any type of capacity.
Well, you just hope it's not at the cost of losing your locker room. We'll see what ends up happening with that.
Yes, yes, yes. That's a hefty price.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don't sleep on the Dubs and the NBA's leading scorer, Steph Curry, with the shot. The Warriors knocking off the Suns, who have the second-best record in the NBA last night, a 6-point win in Golden State. They would play the Lakers if the play-in started today. They have the West's sixth-best record since April 1st. Here's Draymond and Wiggins.
For a second there, we were the hunters. Then we turned into the hunted for 5-6 years, whatever it was. And now we're hunting again. And, you know, that's always a fun position to be in when you're hunting, going after everybody else. So, you know, obviously has experienced both. But I love hunting. That's fun. Earlier in the season, we were so Steph heavy. You know, everything had to be Steph, and if Steph couldn't get it going, we were kind of done. You know, we moved the ball tonight. You know, we didn't shoot great, but we hit the shots when they mattered.
We're a totally different team now than we were at the beginning of the year. And I feel like we're only getting better. We're gelling at the perfect time.
All right, bring back Big Perk. Perk, I want to start with you. Should the West be worried about Golden State? Like, what teams, what matchups are they going to give problems to?
Molly, should teams be worried? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay? Yes. And here's why. And if anybody disagree, they haven't been watching the game of basketball, okay? Golden State are winners of 7 out of their last 8. And when you look at them, they have identity on both ends of the floor. They have a defensive identity. And with Draymond Green anchoring the defense, one of the best defensive players in the game today, could possibly win the Defensive Player of the Year award. You have Andrew Wiggins, who have now become a two-way player, who don't have to have to be the number one pick. And did you watch the game last night against the Phoenix Suns, the number two team in the Western Conference, when Steph Curry went 1-for-11 from 3, 7-for-22 from the field? Andrew Wiggins had a 38-piece wing dinner, teriyaki style. He went to work. He has that confidence because of the culture of Golden State and the leadership of Draymond Green and Steph Curry. So, yes, I'm looking at the top of the Western Conference. The Utah Jazz are not healthy. We don't know when Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley is coming back. Phoenix Suns, I just alliterated to, are looking shaky. And the Clippers are looking funny in the light as well. So, yes, the West should be worried about the Golden State Warriors.
No, they shouldn't. I mean, I'll respect the Golden State because I don't disagree with those points, Perk, which is why if it was a one-and-done tournament, then I'd be like, oh, watch out. They could win the whole thing in a one-and-done tournament, but in a best-of-seven series, there are too many repetitions, and it matters how your team, for example, shoots. Now, Wiggins, you mentioned, turned into a two-way player. He also shot the ball way better than I thought he'd shoot the ball this year. But is he a consistent number two scorer that you can rely on in the playoffs? We don't know that. We have not seen that. And in fact, while the Warriors are peaking at the right time, this is not the NFL. Like, I think that matters much more in the NFL, the hotter team, the healthier team. In the NBA, because of the best of seven series, when it comes down to it, really just the roster construction, how many guys you can really rely on is what it's going to be about. Yes, the Suns have looked bad recently, but there are two guys on the Suns that can absolutely kill you, and a bunch of role players who fit very nicely and can shoot the ball. Other than the greatest shooter ever in Steph Curry, they don't really have enough shooting on this team to stay with the Jazz or the Suns, and that's who they're going to be seeing in a seven-game series if they wind up getting out of the play-in, which I think they have a very good chance to do. They will be one and done. They make it to the first round, but not past that.
Yeah, Big Perk, I got to agree with Max on this one, man. And you know I hate to do that, but I just don't think the Warriors have enough firepower offensively to be able to win out in a long series against any of those teams in the Western Conference. You saw a little bit of a preview on what teams at the top of that Western Conference are going to do when they're trying to defend the Golden State Warriors. They're going to shadow Steph with two guys, and they're going to cut everybody else loose. And Andrew Wiggins got busy last night, but I don't trust that he's going to be able to do that over a seven-game series enough to be able to make the difference in Golden State winning it versus losing it. No shade to Andrew Wiggins, but I just don't trust it. I haven't seen enough of him being able to take control of games like he did last night. And quite frankly, as much as I love what Steph has done since the beginning of April, I just don't think he's going to be able to put this team on his back and carry him, especially when you're going up against teams that defend as well as the Utah Jazz do. And with the Phoenix Suns and Chris Paul and Devin Booker, to Max's point, I just feel like those guys are too good not to figure it out against this version of the Warriors.
Well, first of all, let me tell y'all why y'all both are wrong right now. And I came on here and I said I was going to be calm and cool today, but I can't help it. All right, when you look at Andrew Wiggins, the reason that I'm saying he's going to flourish well in this system and in the playoffs is because it's all about culture. He's never been on a team like this. He's never had vets like this. He's never had a guy like Draymond Green to put a key in his back and keep him going. And when you talk about the lack of shooting, right, and the lack of offensive firepower that the Golden State Warriors has, that's irrelevant. Because Steph Curry is offense. He is offense. We're talking about the league-leading scorer, a guy that could put up 60-piece on you in his sleep. And you talk about shadowing him, Candy. And listen, I respect your basketball knowledge, but what does Steph Curry do well, better than any other player, point guard in the league? He moves well without the ball. He has the quickest release in basketball. You cannot block his shot. He moves. He's sneaky. And Draymond Green being the facilitator, they outsmart people. So this is why I say
I just like to point something out.
And they're smuts.
I just like to point something out about dudes who can score. How many 70-point games does Steph Curry have in his career? Because Devin Booker's got one.
Yep.
That book went for 70. 70. And we saw in the bubble, last year what Devin Booker can do. The point is, let's just boil it down, Perk. How many of those dudes do you have? The special players. Wiggins is a nice player. He made real strides this year. I'm not disagreeing with you. The Suns got two. The Warriors got one. The Suns got two guys in Chris Paul and Devin Booker who can kill you.
Who are the Warriors knocking off? Perk, I need this from you. Who are the Warriors going to knock off a seven-game series? Talk to me. Give me teams.
I mean, they can knock off either one of them. They can knock off the Utah Jazz. They just beat them. We don't know when Donovan Mitchell or Mike Conley is coming back, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't had an update on that.
Okay, so and Utah.
Max, that was my – I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But my blood pressure went up. Max, you're talking about, Steph Curry never had 70 and Devin Booker did. Right, he did have it in the regular season, but tell me when Devin Booker didn't ever played in the playoffs and had a 40-piece. He never did.
Just give it a couple weeks.
Booker when it mattered the most.
We know what Steph Curry could do when it mattered the most. By the way, my point was not that Devin Booker has proven himself in the playoffs more than Steph Curry. Although Steph Curry choked in plenty of finals before this last one against Toronto where he played very well. He had never been as good as he was in the regular season in the finals, ever in his career, until the Toronto series, which, by the way, they lost. Let's be honest. I'm not trying to argue Devin Booker's more proven than Steph. I just want to point out, when you're talking about Steph Curry is capable of doing all these things, Devin Booker, in an NBA game, scored 70. This dude is unstoppable offensively, and Chris Paul is in the MVP conversation.
Max, you know what? This is the problem that I have with you, all right? when you go back to switching the narrative and moving the goalposts to make your point, all right, because you're the main one that always come on here talking about how regular season stuff don't matter to you, and it only matters the most when it's in the postseason. Right. That's why you discredit James Harden so much. You remember those arguments?
Yep.
Always
sure
downplaying James Harden. Oh, that's not impressive because when it matters the most, he disappeared.
And now
you about to sit up here and tell me about Steph Curry, a guy who probably have some of the best moments in playoff history outside of LeBron James
not and Kawhi finals Leonard history.
In this modern day. Max, you have to get to the finals. People forget about that first, second, and third round, and you just want to hold the finals against Steph. Think about what the Warriors had to do to get to the finals. Think about
Steph's one
games.
Of the greatest players of all time. No one's saying anything else, but you're trying to pretend that in the finals in the past, Steph, I'll say it again, until the Toronto series where he hit big shots, Steph had never been his regular self.
You're forgetting the biggest point. Don't you remember he wanted Iggy to take the last shot, not Steph? Remember that? That was Max Kellerman who wanted Iggy, not Steph.
By the way, and with the fate of the universe on the line, I wasn't wrong then. Iguodala had ice water in his veins. Steph choked in the finals. Steph was the point guard, and Steph was the conductor of the greatest half-court offense in the history of basketball. They were at home, game seven, fourth quarter, 4 minutes and 22 seconds went by. They didn't score a point, point.
Let me tell you why he was wrong, okay?
Uh-huh.
I had front row seats to that game because I was in that series because I was on the Cleveland Cavaliers. I was averaging 3,000 claps per game, warming the bench up. And our game plan was to make Iguodala beat us. We put all the attention on Steph Curry, and we said that we're not going to even challenge. We totally disrespected Andre Iguodala. He had pregame warm-up shots. He better knock him down. He's a professional. He had wide-open shots.
Perk, hold on. Don't try and twist what I said. I was very clear.
You up right now.
I was very clear when I said it. I'm not talking about who is more dangerous, who's going to get their own shot. I'm saying an open look at the basket.
Andre Iguodala should take last shot, not Steph Curry. I'm reading the headline right now for you.
I have it right here. But I said open look at the basket.
They didn't put that in the headline. They misquoted you.
Open look at the basket because I saw Steph Curry choke too many times with good looks in the finals. That doesn't mean he'll do it forever.
Gotcha.
He fixed that against Toronto. However, don't sit there and pretend like Steph Curry has been this all-time great.
Perk's got high blood pressure. I need the Advil in my office. Chris Canty's getting annoyed. He's not going to come back tomorrow. Let's go.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.